Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the week where we sit down and talk about the week. Mind it. See what I did there?
Oh, I loved it. Here's the thing. It's been said before, and I'll say it again. You told me to jump off of a bridge, I'll do it. So whatever you start, I'm here along for the ride, which is so comforting to me. And I wish I could give you that in return. I can't provide that.
I just don't think you're just necessarily going to be outside by yourself anyway.
No, but you know, I have you as my guiding light, and unfortunately I can't actually do that for you, but
it's okay.
It is what it is. I provide other things.
Yeah, we're a duo. We're here to lift each other up. My weaknesses are your strengths. My strengths are your weaknesses. It wouldn't work any other way.
And I was listening to a very old episode of Giggly Squad, which is the podcast with one of the girls from that Bravo show in the Hamptons. I stumbled upon them because one of them was saying that winning the Super Bowl is like kind of an ick. And I was like, I understand exactly what you mean. And so I was watching, I listen to podcasts constantly, listen to ours. But I watched an old episode of theirs, and they had someone come like do their Zodiac birth chart breakdown, like current stuff about them. And they also have a podcast, and they were saying something very similar of like, your signs are very compatible in the sense of like, you've got someone who's like coming up with like concepts and ideas with not any of the follow through, and then someone who can vet, okay, what will work, what won't work, and doing all of that. And then you're always, one is not in this way, but like one is, you're very good at like taking the, rarely is it 50-50. You're very good at being like the 60-40, whatever, back and forth mm-hmm. thing. And I was like, oh my God, this is so us. And then I was watching a cut video where it was like, forget, like best friends say, tell the truth about, I don't know, are honest with each other. I don't remember what the exact phrasing was. And I literally was like, oh, I wonder be like if me and Melissa were on this. And so quickly I went, we would never be on this. Like, why? Oh my God. Because they were, I was like, they have to be younger. And then as soon as you started like referencing high school, I was like, oh, these people are young. So like, they're like, what's something you haven't told your friend? It's like, oh, like I hooked up with like your boyfriend, like a lot more times than you knew. And like, I know you had hooked up, and they both like had hooked up with each other's boyfriends. And the host, who, by the way, I was like, where's Mario Lopez from? Because this man must have been his next door neighbor. They speak exactly this. Like his voice, I close my eyes, it's Mario Lopez. It's not, but it sounds like Mario Lopez's hosting voice. Okay. And as someone who's met Mario Lopez while he's hosting and then off, there's a difference in the voice. And it's specifically
I saw the host voice. A video of him where he went to a Mexican food truck and he was talking how he usually talks. And like people are like, where has this Mario Lopez been? No. I was like, it's called...
Do you want me to finish it? Code switching?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is that my
turn? It's your turn.
Yeah, he's code switching. Yeah. And like, I was like, this man, they don't look anything alike, so I don't think they're related. But I'm like, next door neighbors, you went to the same hosting school of Mario Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like saying all these wild things. But then there was one friendship that they didn't get as much airtime because they weren't as like wild. Because two of the other ones, like, oh yeah, for fun, we like, when we were younger, we used to like go down on each other. And I was like, and then someone's like, I've never had romantic feelings. And I'm just like, me and the Mario Lopez guy are looking at both of them, waiting for them to step across the line. So I'm like, come on. So I ship them.
I'm sorry, but you can't have a friendship where you're actually friends and like respect and love each other and then have sexual things and say that there's a separation there.
No, like, but
that
then doesn't also make say sense. You have like somewhat romantic feelings to each other. And I go, you guys have a crush.
Oh, I thought you were saying they didn't.
No, they do. And I'm like, you're not friends anymore. Like, come on. Like, let's take the next step. Like, I'm loving this. Like, love this for you. Let's go. But then there was one that didn't get as much airtime. And they were talking about, one of them was like, what's something that like, I don't know what the prompt was, but it was something along the lines of something that frustrates me or something I wish I could like get through to you. And literally her friend, who I think is a little bit older, just based on like what they look like, she was like, I wish I could get you to like focus on your health because, you know, since you've had long COVID and you have POTS, you're not very good at pacing yourself. And I was like, turn this off. This is a read. I was like, this is so fucked. And she's like, and you know, she's like, and you're not going to go into the doctor. And I'm the one who has to remind you all the time. And it took 2 years to get you go to the doctor. And I was like, oh my God, get out of my life. I was like, fuck this. And then I was like, apparently we can be on this show. But there we wouldn't get as much screen time.
We would.
No, I know. And like, but we were not what they were looking for. It was so messy. And that's the same place where they said twins for a different video was twins date for each other. And I was like, turn the TV off.
Question. Are you watching like actual cut videos? Are you watching the 50 cut videos on TikTok?
No. So I got into like... In my Trixie and Katya original era, because like you said,
I wrote down, Megan has not mentioned Trixie and Katya today. And there we go.
It's a mental health checkpoint.
I was going to see if we're going to make it to the end of the day.
Of course not. That's how you know that like my mental health is cured. It's like Trixie and Katya, unfamiliar. Look at them in my past. No, but like when the first introduction that I had to like watching their stuff, it was the same time. I would just like binge a bunch of like old episodes. And I'm not good at like bouncing around to like random one-off things. Like I like stuff that doesn't have to have a through line, but like I know it's a comforting format.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had ran out of, I think it was on episodes. And so then I watched, I forget which cut one, what it was, something with lesbians, because that's like, I have there's one specific lesbian who they will bring her back on. And I just look at her like with a comfort. And I was like, it's because you're the first person I've ever seen on this channel. So I watched some of those ones, but I will not watch any of the ones that like the titles are fucking outrageous. I don't want to know that. Like I want the wholesome, like sweet ones with like the people who have the kind faces or like, you know, nice, like cultural ones of people like, guess what language I'm speaking? And it's like someone who's like can speak all these languages can like place these very obscure, small.
I've seen that one.
Those ones are fun. Not the fucking crazy ones. But Mots loves watching Cody react to those. He loves watching anybody react to those ones. And so then when we're together and he's like, let's just watch an original cut video. And I'm like, no, I have to watch the compilation because the in-between is like so painful to watch. Like the girl who talks about Ocean Facts, she's like, ask me about Ocean Facts, Ocean Facts. And it's like a 40-minute video of teenagers yelling at each other. And he's like, but you love this. And I go, no. We can watch the compilation. Can't watch the whole thing. But he made me watch some of those cut ones. And I was like, we have to watch something else. Like, I have such bad secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah. Well.
Welcome.
If you want to watch something, you can tune into our Patreon where you can subscribe. Things might be changing soon. So you might want to, if you want to see us, get in now.
That's not ominous at all.
I know. And if you're already there, it won't change for you. Just know that.
Okay. So yeah, this is a wonderful, amazing podcast. One of our many. And so if you are not familiar with our other ones, let this be your introduction. And then you'll listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, I loved them so much. And then we'll tell you all about all the other podcasts that we do. But let's focus on the present. Focus on the here and now. And this is where we talk shit ethically. We have a lot of segments on the show. We will get to each one of them and explain them before we dive into them. The only thing that you need to know is opinions here are welcome. Like, we want your insight. We want your thoughts and your feelings. This is a call and response. No, not a call. This is a...
There is some calling.
Yeah, it's a call and response kind of thing.
There is call and response. The whole second segment is call and response.
Exactly.
We're big on the big O's here. Opinions.
True. We have so many of them. And we think of this as a place for us to talk about our lives, your lives, as well as the lives of celebrities, states, people, places, and things who may or may not know that we exist.
And that's their problem.
Also, there's some people who, like, the fact that they know I exist is a problem for them. And I love just knowing that I sit in their brain and I'm just there wreaking havoc. Ha, ha, ha. Anyways, so the fun part, too, about this is we ask you to participate in the sense that we will have you vote on our Instagram story about who you think was wrong in each segment that we discuss. And then you can submit it over. Additionally, with your votes, you can message us on Instagram replying to those stories and let us know your thoughts, feelings, or if you're the original person who had talked to us about it. And then we read all of those discuss on our Friday episode called Fisting Friday.
So shall we get into our first segment?
Yes.
Our first segment is called But Am I Wrong? And that's where we pick something from our personal lives that we want to rant about, maybe just talk about, or we might have been wrong in the situation and we want to put it up for vote. You're up first, Megan.
Mine is a hot take that might not be that hot. And I'm looking to find my people. And I already know you're out of my people. Airplanes are the new printers. And if you're brand new here, you might not know what that means.
I know. As soon as you said it, I knew exactly what you meant.
And if you don't, I would ask you, how are you unfamiliar with printers? Because at this point, when I say printers, you say have never been fixed or upgraded. They're obsolete in less than 12 months. No one can make them work. No one cares to make them work. And we've gotten to that point where it's airplanes. And I don't know if we need Shaq to become the face of Boeing to be like, let me rehab the image of this. I don't know who needs to invest what money into this. But here's the thing. My gears have been ground. My annoyance about printers never fucking working, never upgrading, but us needing them, not evolving past the need for printers, needing them, but having them continue to fail us and have nobody seem to fucking care whatever inconvenience it offers us. But me not being able to print my sides, having to go to a FedEx, to an Office Depot, those places to print, having to, you know, go off of somebody's business account to go to the library, all of those things, that is a mere annoyance. I'm not dying, but airplanes saw that printers got away with it, and specifically Boeing said, we're going to send these things up in the sky and we're going to cross our fingers. And then when they don't work and shit doesn't go how we want it to, we're going to say, shh, and we're going to throw another one up in the sky. And at this point, the fact that we as a nation, as a world, as a government, as a community have let Boeing continue to take off, continue to fly in and out is diabolical, terrifying. And they need to be stopped at all costs. This is no longer an annoyance thing. This is like fucking crazy. And every single day I look on Twitter, I look on Instagram. Oh, another one down. And they like want points when they're like, it was just a door and everyone landed safely. And I'm like, actually, when I get on a flying little capsule in the sky, I'm thinking that I would like to land with all of those same parts there. And if a part is gone by the time that I land, I don't need to know that that part is gone. I don't need to know based on the turbulence. I don't need to know based on the, oh, suddenly we have a night sky view, a vision like that. I don't, none of that bullshit. Absolutely none of that bullshit. Oh, and it makes me irate. And to the point now with their, one of their most recent ones was, which one was this? Because unfortunately, there are so many that I actually can't name the specific city that they fucked up in again. Was, whatever, I can't find it. But essentially they said, they think the reason why one of the most recent ones had issues was because the pilot seat like slid forward or back a little too much. And so their solution was telling flight attendants, which I'm sorry, they have to duct tape fucking passengers to their seats. They have enough on their goddamn fucking plates. Telling flight attendants and like the cockpit and the whole crew, just like double check to make sure that the seats are like locked and like where they're supposed to be. I'm sorry, no.
Don't they not get paid until the plane takes off? Like everything they do up until...
The crew?
Yeah.
I think so.
This is so messed up on many levels. First of all, let me give you this. I think that was a great comparison. And I'm sick of these... I hate flying as it is. Like, I'm terrified of flying. And the fact that these are things that should be small things that should be checked all the time, it's loose bolts. Why are things not being checked? And then they grounded everything after the first door fell off. And now things keep happening and they haven't grounded them again. And they're like, oop, nobody's died yet, so we're fine. They're just playing roulette with our lives. And it's scary. And they're not even thinking about the people like in the plane. Mm-mm. They're not. There's also like the fact that that wheel fell off and didn't hit somebody is like a miracle.
Yeah. Or I don't even know. I don't even think this one was a Boeing, because like the issue is like when you have like a airplane fucking, and that's not all they do, but like when you have a giant like that, they set the standard of quality control. And so then you have these other that are like, just send it in the air. They're making so much more money than we are. And if we're wasting time with all these fucking checks, we're never going to be able to whatever. But the one, I'm pretty sure the one that, one of the other things that fell off, that was a flight from San Francisco, I think originally to Japan, and it fell off in like LA. No, not LA. It fell off in Seattle or Washington. I'm not sure, but whatever it was, completely decimated the cars, like what had fallen off. And like, thank God nobody was in those cars, but those cars look like someone had put them in an incinerator. They were melted down. That's not like a sudden death either, by the way. Like,
no,
horrible. That's,
I'm trapped and I can't get out.
And I'm being burned alive by hot metal. It makes me so mad. And like the fact that like the government gave so many fucking like loans and shit to these airlines during the pandemic, and like they're just watching people having to get on flights and being like, well, I hope I don't die, and just being like, oh, it's yeah, okay. And then remember when the pilots were going on strike and everybody was losing their minds, like, this can't happen. And I'm like, where was that outrage from our government from when this was happening?
Right. And then also like, They're all about like being so efficient and leaving on time, which they never do. And I'm not one to complain when it's delayed, because I'm like, they're fixing something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Like, let them do what they need to do. But like, if we need to slow down the rate as that flights take off, do it. Like, reprogram everything so it's slower and then people can take their time. Flying is a convenience, and it's a convenience that we as consumers have to adapt to based on what is given to us. And if the people that are giving it to us slow things down, then it wouldn't be expected for things to be going as fast as they do. Just slow down. Take your time.
That is the motto in our household, because I live with a man who loves to rush his way through absolutely everything. And like the mentality when you do that, when you have so many lives at risk, I'm like, you're opening yourself up to like not only like lawsuits from like passengers, but like people who work there, workers comp shit. Like, it's just so fucked and so dangerous. And it feels like just to have them like not care even like a lick is so fucking wild. And like, you know what we don't need? We don't, as someone who's flown between San Francisco and LA so many fucking times, every flight that takes off past 7 p.m. from honestly really SFO or Oakland to LA, will get canceled because there's not enough even fucking people on that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this shit is like so, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it's like the 2-day shipping. You get so used to this instant gratification that it's like, is there a way to have this happen in this turnaround ethically, safely?
Right.
Probably not. Amazon workers are peeing in bottles and Boeing is just coming down. And it's awful. And I've seen people who like are getting on a flight and like, I won't book. I mean, I'm not getting on planes really at all. But like, if I have to, I'm not booking a 737, but I'm also not booking at this point any Boeing. If there's right. like, you know, maybe, no, probably none. But then people are doing that and then they're getting switched to 737s and they can't do anything about it. That's like their flights like, oh, actually, we're going to be doing this plane instead. And then they have the audacity. I think it's Delta who's changing the cost of, instead of getting like one free bag or whatever, now it's like, no, it's going to be $20. For what? The fact that like we have this idea that like every company has to make more money than they did the previous year. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so what corners are you comfortable having the people who provide for you and your safety cutting? Because you're cutting corners for everyone else. Like, what other ones? So you're cool if everyone just did this to each other back and forth. Like, are you cool with surgeons cutting corners, like cost-wise? Come on, people get upset the fact that like anyone in the healthcare profession has to work like 12-hour, 24-hour shifts and they're like, oh, it's dangerous. And it's like, yeah, that's a corner that's having to be cut that is not good. Mm-hmm. But you're cool with that when it comes to flying in airplanes. I hate them. I hate them and it's terrifying.
Good job. This got to be one of my favorite ones that you've done.
Thanks. It was all off the top of my noggin. The only thing I wrote down was airplanes or the new printers.
Good job.
I don't even think Shaq would accept it. He goes, I'm not touching that shit with a 10-foot pole.
No, he made Ring better.
Shaq is...
He saw that Ring, he saw that cameras, home cameras weren't great.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, what is this? And he saw something called, it wasn't called Ring at the time. I forgot what it was called. And he was like, make me your spokesperson and we will make this better. And he got into Big Printer too. He's into hot dogs. He's into general insurance. I don't think he's going to get into planes.
First of all, he goes, I don't even fit in you bitches. Mm-hmm. And you want me to suck that dick? How? I can't even walk through these hallways. What is this, an airplane for ants?
All right, here's mine. And what I'm about to say is no shock to anyone. Politicians are the biggest hypocrites. And that's not my hot take, but I'm ranting about how so many politicians voted to ban TikTok, but openly use TikTok. So 352 members voted in favor of the legislation that could lead to a nationwide ban on TikTok. And I specifically want to talk to Representative Jeff Jackson, who often shares his thoughts and feelings about his first term with Congress. And he voted to ban TikTok, but then got on TikTok and said, I don't think TikTok is actually getting banned. Said TikTok may get sold to another company, but it will continue to operate. He said the bill that passed in the House was about telling TikTok that they have to sell to another company, which TBH just feels racist to me. And he also said that he's repeatedly said that ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, needs to sell their shares. And the best case scenario is that TikTok continues to operate, but is no longer owned and potentially controlled by an adversary government. That's exactly what this legislation does. And he said when he read the bill, the part he agreed on was the part that tries to force a sell, because I figured this would be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversary government.
The Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, like they're just mad. They're mad for they as in Congress. And also, I would also throw in there like social media companies, big social media companies that are based in the US that mm-hmm. aren't able to collect the same data that TikTok is able to collect, because they just let people be who they are and then have an algorithm. So you are only with those people that you see. And then it feels like a much safer place. Yeah, those people that that are billionaires, and they're not getting a piece of this. They're just mad, and they're basically influencing these politicians to say what they want them to say. And it just seems wild that they're doing this when TikTok has been very good at rallying people to educate them on what's actually going on, not in the U.S., educate what is going on in the U.S., educate about, I don't know, cereal companies. The spread of information is so vast, and it scares the government that things that they were able to keep secret in the past are now not that anymore. And so they're scared, and they should be. And I say, fuck them. Do your job. Do what the people that you were sworn in to represent want, and shut up.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with this. The irony that Facebook has been to court confirmed because they perpetuated like Russian propaganda that ruined our election.
Mm-hmm.
But China is the adversary government who we go, we don't actually know what they're going to do with this. It's going to be really bad. So you need to be done. It's like the most U.S. centric take in the world of being like, no, we're just like telling them that they like have to sell. And I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, right. U.S. is not even the majority of users on TikTok. Like, mm-hmm. we're not like, they're just going to be like, they're valued at like a gajillion dollars. They're not going to be like, they're not going to fucking sell it because Congress was like, we don't like this. Will you sell it? They're like, you're not, we don't owe you shit. Like, mm-hmm. you're not our country. Like, no, we're not going to sell it. We'll just take it off. Like, the idea that they won't take it off the App Store. And I'm like, why wouldn't they? Like, what is the gain that they have to be like, no, we have to keep this in the US. We have to sell it to this. And then we have to let that change what this app is. Like, it's just not going to, like, it's like a different parent being like, I'm going to punish and discipline another kid. And it's right. like, that kid's just going to go home to their parents and be like, okay, fuck off, you weirdo loser. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so self-important and like gives very much, again, like the U.S. being like, no, the world revolves around us. We're actually the sun here. Just like pisses me off so much. It's so clear that there's even people who like have been in my life where it was like, oh, you know, you don't know anything because you're just getting all of your information from TikTok. And I'm like, you're also sending me TikToks. That's where you're getting your information. And it like, it's an echo chamber. And so mm-hmm. like, you know, the idea that your truth is more valid or whatever, that makes me like, there's so much like I've like learned and been able to, I spent a lot of time learning, like, so like years learning. First time ever someone messaged me and was like, I'm hella disappointed in your silence about what's going on in Palestine. And I was like, me too. I'm going to spend 2 years just reading so much, constantly learning about all of it. And I wasn't convinced, or my mind wasn't like shifted or changed by watching TikToks, but I was able right. to then back up everything I had read yeah. and everything I continued to research as I was watching mm-hmm. with these tellings and this real life depiction of this, and not relying on the version that gets told for, regardless of what anyone thinks people's biases are, but like, we can't show certain things on TV. Like, regardless right. of what bias you have or what lens the organization is going for, no matter how unbiased they are there's a lot of censorship on our TV. And like, that's, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but like, it's not conducive for this kind of stuff. And so it's rich that this is the quickest thing that is the biggest threat to our security versus abortion versus healthcare versus legislation protecting trans youth, trans people everywhere. Any of that, I'm like, oh no, TikTok's the biggest threat. Okay. Wow. Super transparent.
Right.
And they think that like in doing that, then suddenly everyone's going to be like, actually, fuck Palestinians. Like, you're right. Now that I've been like snapped out of my brainwash, I actually like don't care. And it's like, that's not how it works.
Right.
Irate.
So mad.
He deleted his TikTok, by the way, that man.
I know.
I was like,
he was rapidly losing followers. I never even heard of him.
Me neither.
It happened.
I was going to ask you because everyone's commenting to me like, I'm so disappointed. And I saw it on Twitter. I was like, who is this man? I guess because we're not even from near the area.
And also, there's so many representatives.
Yeah. There's
so many. There's no way to know
no.
all of them.
There's no way to know.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Yamen Spa Styler Hair Tool that we both have. We have their blow dryer. And this is doing something that I've never once seen before on a blow dryer. It's got red light therapy, but the thing that I am the most excited about, because I literally just opened my package, it's got a scalp massager attachment. Like, what? What? Hello, my scalp is so incredibly excited. And as someone who has been a big fan of like Korean and Japanese beauty that I've like very much gone into, specifically skincare, and I've started dabbling into makeup, I just know that like hot tools. Oh, I'm sat. I'm ready and I'm primed and my scalp cannot wait to be massaged.
I am literally sitting here with it in my hand as we're talking. It's so, first of all, it's well made. Like, it fits great in my hand. It's not too thick. I have tiny hands of a child and it's not too thick in my hand. And then also the attachment for the massager, it's just so, like, I'm rubbing it against my hand and it's just so soft and flexible and just invigorating that I'm really excited to get this thing on this scalp.
I'm so excited because I have to say, blow drying your hair is, in diffusing your hair, all those things, it's a time consuming process. So to be able to be like, let me take a break and treat myself, give myself a little head massage, do a little red light therapy, like, fantastic. Plus, it's lightweight, so your arm's not going to get so tired. Absolutely tired. And yeah, very ergonomic, fantastic.
Yamen is a leading Japanese beauty brand, blends modern technology with traditional beauty rituals to revolutionize the industry. Their U.S. brand portfolio includes Makanai Pure Beauty, MediLift, Mineral Air, and Yamen Tokyo, Japan.
To experience the future of beauty, you can visit YamenUSA.com and use code BLAMEME for a 20% discount. That's BLAMEME at YA-MANUSA.com. That's yamenusa.com for 20% off using our code BLAMEME. We are back from our break, and it's time for our next segment, which is But Are You Wrong? Where we read your submissions that you send to butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. You keep them under 300 words, and you tell us the circumstance, situation you have found yourself in, and you want to know if you are wrong about it. Whether you are wrong about what you did, what you said, would you be wrong if you did X, Y, or Z? Some say Don't Blame Me is the podcast for getting advice before you do the thing, and But Am I Wrong is asking for forgiveness, or but how much of a bitch was I? And good, as you all know, bitch is a good word.
Yes. Sometimes you have to be a lot bitchy.
So I've been talking, quote unquote, to a guy for a little over 2 years. We've never defined our relationship, just enjoyed our time together. We are faithful because there's just too much out there that neither of us wanted to accidentally catch with being with other partners. Aside from monogamy, we never really set any boundaries for our relationship. So fast forward to Valentine's Day, because of course, we just had some great sex, and he's like, there's something I've been too afraid to tell you for a while. Oh my God, my heart. I'm already nervous because I'm not sure how you'll react. He then tells me he loves me. Aw, I don't know why I felt like, I don't even know why he felt like he needed to tell me that. We aren't even in a relationship in my eyes. Oh no, you're an asshole. So I'm thinking it's just post-sex talk, and I just hit him with a, oh wow, that's so sweet. Oh my God. Okay, fast forward to yesterday. We had a great day, and as I was leaving his place, he kissed me and said, I love you. You have a great night. I froze and had no reaction at all. When I get home, he texts me and says, it's okay if you're not ready to say it back. Am I wrong for not saying it back? Truth be told, I'm not sure if I do love him. I thought we were just having a good time. When I've talked to friends, they're all like, well, what do you expect? It's been over 2 years. I didn't expect this. I'm with your friends here. Like, truly, what did you expect?
Yeah, it's 2 years of a monogamous relationship.
Monogamous. I don't know what your hang up is about, like, the type. Like, this is your boyfriend.
Yes.
What?
You don't spend any time with anyone else. It's been you were together on Valentine's Day, and you didn't expect, like, something. 2 years? Sorry, babe. You're wrong.
Yeah. I don't know, like, what idea you have about this. Like, and I say this as someone who, like, comes from a tumultuous background. Like, I don't know if you're like, no, that's, like, not for me. And this is what's happened. You're already doing it. You just don't have the name and the title of it. But, like, you're not... Also, for the, like, talking is not, you just didn't want to say friends with benefits because you didn't want it to be like, well, yeah, you're friends, you spend all your time together and you fuck, you're dating. But, like, talking is a stage that ends even if you're not in a relationship.
Yes. Like, if you go on a date, you are no longer talking.
Yes.
Once you take the relationship off of a phone, off of an app, off of, like, you go on a date, you're now dating.
Yep.
You have sex, you're now. You're now bed buddies. Like, you are past that.
You are
in a monogamous relationship for 2 years. Kina, that is your man.
That's your relationship. Collect your man. Your man's already trying to collect you, and you're just like kicking and screaming. Yeah, this is like, I don't know what your hang up is. Like, how do you feel about him? Like, what is love to you? Because maybe this is me projecting. There's literally no fucking way I could spend 2 years monogamous with a man, spending time with him, having sex with him, spending Valentine's Day with him. Again, 2 years monogamous if I did not love him.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think you feel? Are you looking for something else?
Right. Like, I gotta read this again.
I'm shocked. This is so not where I thought it was going.
We haven't defined our relationship. We are faithful because, no.
Also, of course, you said, I don't know why he felt the need to tell me. Like, here's the thing. I think that the I love you thing, I had a similar instance with Mots, but he was, you know, just knew that I had some avoidant attachment styles and was like really taking it slow and all of that. And like, I knew he was ready to say it way before I was. And I was like, if he says it, I'm going to fucking run. And, like, he really took the time with it. And, like, that seems like this guy's also very aware of your hangups and is, like, pacing this in a very standard way. He's not even expecting you to say it back. You being shocked is, like, surprise Pikachu face. Like, it's, like, be fucking for real. Like, be so serious right now. Like, let's take a deep breath and look inward and look outward, because this is your, Even your friends are like, that's your fucking boyfriend.
Also, you said, we had a great day and I was leaving his place. He kissed me and said, I love you. Have a great night. So you were together all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, you spend hours with this man. You're not just fucking. Like, unless you're just fucking having tantric sex for 10 hours. Like, babe, I'm sorry. I'm not even sorry. Like, define this fucking relationship.
Yeah. Like, also, I'm now rereading. It's over 2 years.
A little over 2 years.
Yeah, which we know is 2 years, 6 months. Like, yeah. This is just like, this is so what? Like, here, you don't have to, if you don't want to be in a relationship with him, am I going to say that I believe you? No. But like, that's your prerogative. Then be like, I'm sorry. I really didn't want anything serious. I'm so sorry that me being monogamous with you and spending all my time with you for the last 2 years, 2.5 years, I gave you the wrong impression. But like, I'm going to dip out. You have to do that then. And then plot twist, you're gonna be like, what the fuck did I just do? I'm sad and devastated. But here's my thing. If you are unhappy or you're not interested in what you're doing, you will go somewhere else. You will be looking for something else. But like, you being like, no, I'm so cool with this. This is a relationship without the title. What are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
What has changed?
What are you waiting for?
Are you embarrassed?
Clearly not, because she's talking to her friends about
that's
it. And they're
and
your friends
to me.
Your friends are like, no shit.
No, the way if I had a friend say this, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, what?
I thought we were just having a good time. For two years?
Oh my God. She's like, and I just thought I was being really smart about having safe sex.
But no.
You know what? There's no condom. There's no condom for the heart.
Yeah. Or the brain, evidently.
Yeah, no. One of you's got a condom on. He tried to put the condom in the heart, but they only last so long. You put a condom on the brain, that shit did not last long.
Are you that digmatized?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, because there's, in my mind, there's no way that, like, your thing is like, I would do a relationship, but just like, not with him. Like, there's no way you're fucking wasting your time with that if that's what you want. So, like, in my mind, you're like, no, I'm not a relationship person. Like, I don't want any of that. And so then you've been breadcrumbed into a relationship. And then you're like, how did I end up here? And it's like, cool. You actually like that. It's not the concept is scary. The actual thing is not scary when it's with the right person. The patience of this man and the confidence.
I didn't know how to tell you, but I'm going to tell you on Valentine's Day.
And then her being like, I don't know why he would tell me that.
Yeah, it's like,
first of all, it's Valentine's Day. You've been together for 2.5.
First, she says, oh, that's so sweet.
And this man is like, take your time. The way that, like, come on. And like, nothing's going to change. Everything's the same. Watch it be like, well, I mean, of course he comes over to my family for holidays. And of course I can bring each other to the weddings. Of course I know his siblings and his parents.
Of course my niece calls him uncle. Like,
and you know what? Maybe you should live together and be roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Denial is a river in Egypt. That's all you think about.
All right. Next one. Me, 30 female, and John, 30 male, have been friends for 3 years. We met at my previous job. Despite having very different perspectives since we're from the same country, we became friends. John loves to complain. He never reviews himself and blames everything on others. His fat phobia and homophobia comments also make me very uncomfortable. I always try to let him know it's not okay, but he doesn't change. His personality tires me, but he is my only friend in the city that is from my country, and sometimes I miss speaking the language. Since that job, I moved to different companies and got a much higher salary. After John learned about that, he just said I was lucky and continued to complain about his boss. He has been looking and asking for a raise, which will double his current income, but hasn't got any offers yet. Every so often, he asked me to tell my boss to hire him. I told John to give me his portfolio so I can let my boss see it. He said his portfolio is...
I loved that.
But he said that his portfolio is ugly because his company doesn't have good works and he wants me to just say good things about him. I reject it. Recently, my boss actually asked me twice if I know anyone that is looking for a job.
Unfortunately, you don't.
I felt bad to lie, so I told my boss that I know someone that has good skills but talks a lot. And my boss can tell from my tone that it's not a good thing. So they posted the job. Was I wrong for saying that? I felt bad, but I also don't want to work with him. Now John saw the job posting and asked me again to tell my boss how good he is. What should I do?
I have to say, saying that he talks a lot is like incredible. Like, that's like incredible company speak. Like, I'm going to tell Mats that, just to like use that to describe someone. Like, that was like really good. So mm-hmm. just know that like you crushed it with that, because you're also, your boss also knew what you meant. And I knew tone. What you meant.
He talks a lot.
He talks a lot. Like, whoo, yeah. Chills.
Mm-hmm. What you should do is, he can apply for the job. Your boss already knows that not to hire this person. So, I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't be friends with this person, but I understand missing your country and needing someone that can relate to you in some type of way. But I think you did what you needed to do. If the only reason you should be asking people, like giving referrals for work, is if you actually get along with these people and you feel like they will add to your work environment and it will be a safe, cohesive place. This homophobic, fatphobic man is not somebody that you want working with you. Then it makes you look bad.
That's what I was going to say. It's a reflection on you.
Yes.
So I would take it a step further and let your boss know, like, okay, pleasantries aside, the person that I was talking about saw the job posting. They are applying. I know them.
I do not recommend.
I would not recommend them whatsoever. And I just want to make sure, like, this is their name. I just want to mm-hmm. make sure that you know, moving forward, I don't think that they're going to get the job based on their skill set. But if he brings me up or anything, please know that, like, I don't co-sign whatsoever.
Also, let's talk about his work ethic. He's talking about how, one, he wants double his salary with
an ugly portfolio.
But he has an ugly portfolio based on the work that he's done at his current company. If you want your portfolio to look better, then you do extra things. Like, you put in extra work, especially if you're trying to double your salary. So, like, he's already showing that he has poor work ethic. If I want to do a job, I go and take extra classes or acquire more skills, so then my thing does not look ugly.
You do unpaid, or you pay to mm-hmm. have work that you are proud of there. Like, what does he think that shit looks like? What is, like, I'm so confused by it. Like, does he not know? I don't know what this field is, but like, specifically, like, you'll see people who are graduating school from like graphic design, and like, they're, I know people who did that, and like, they have like mock-ups of companies that don't exist, and they do all mm-hmm. of this stuff that's like, no one, they didn't get paid to do that, because that product and that thing doesn't exist, but it's like a proof of concept of, this is my skills here. But he's like, well, I'm not gonna do that, I didn't get paid.
And also, you used to work at the other company, so clearly your portfolio had rude. To be
hireable.
Maybe the stuff was ugly, but like, you put in the extra work to make sure that you got hired.
And no. You have a personality that's not only tolerable, but good. So
yeah,
my thing is, I would, like, I agree with you. Like, I wouldn't be friends with this guy. I don't know where you're from, but just because he's the only person you know from your country who like speaks your like native language doesn't mean he's the only person in the area. So like, you know, I know people who like move to like different places, and they'll find, I mean, Americans and people who speak English do this, but like other countries, and going to a restaurant that is like owned by people from that That's location true. Where they're doing that. And like, A, you can find like a lot of people who are also going to that restaurant who are from the same country, same community, same culture, who are eating there, but also who like work there. And like, that can be a great sense of community. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where you're from, but especially in LA, there's like really strong communities mm-hmm. for all different, like across the world in LA, and they're immersive to everybody. But also, like, specifically if you move to a new place, there's so much, like bookstores, restaurants, coffee shops, all that. So I don't think that you need to like tolerate having him around for that.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I am.
It's ugly. I can't actually show it.
Grow up.
I know. And what is the job that he wants to get?
That's going to double his salary.
Tell him about crypto.
He sounds like he'd be very into it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on your high salary and your new job.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll get into But Are They Wrong?
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And you're back. It's time for our final segment, but are they wrong? And this is where we nominate a person, place, or thing, something in current events, pop culture, could even be past or present, that we would like to publicly shame. So mine is a very hot topic that everyone has been talking about, truthfully, for a very long time. And it's having a resurgence as more information has come forward. And I would like to nominate, honestly, at this point, the network, but also the people, Nickelodeon, specifically the Nickelodeon from the time of 90s to early to mid 2000s was when these people were employed there. So we, if you are on the internet, you've heard all the shit about Dan Schneider for so, so, so long. And one of the lesser known or the lesser talked about ones, because there's been like no justice in regards to Dan Schneider, which is a lot of people have continued to talk about that, hoping for that. And something that has been seen as, quote unquote, justice, which is I don't think anyone did really see this justice, but it doesn't get reported on nearly as much because it was like, oh, well, charges were filed. People serve time. Is Brian Peck, who is, I looked it up, no relation to any of the other famous Pecks. And he was arrested in 2003 on 11 charges of, oh, big trigger warning for this, for child SA. I'm not going to get into any of the details of like what specifically happened. So just know that's something that I think you should have to opt in for content wise. And I think you should hear it from the people who are talking about it, who've experienced it, not me telling you about that. And those projects deserve to be supported. So recently what just came out is the Investigation Discovery's Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And so Brian Peck was arrested in August 2003 on 11 charges of child sexual abuse, and he was sentenced to only 16 months in prison October 2004 and had to register as a sex offender. So at the time, it was unknown who the child actor was who was abused, like publicly. That was not said, and they were referred to as John Doe in the documents, and they were sealed. But 20 years later, as the investigation discovery did this segment, they got those unsealed and uncovered. And the child in question was Drake Bell. So in uncovering that, it also uncovered a bunch of letters, which you've heard us talk about with the Danny Masterson, like people talking about, I forget, but like character letters.
Uh-huh.
And it was uncovered that who had written them and the contents of most of them, or the contents of them, summary is asking for him to serve probation instead of prison. The whole point of those letters is to like lessen it. It's not like, oh, this person's not guilty. It's lessen the charge and the sentencing of this. And so let this child predator just serve probation, not any jail time. When again, the jail time he only had to serve was 16 months. And apparently that was 16 months too many for these people. So the people who had written letters were Ron Mandela's Alan Thicke, Ryder Strong, Taryn Killam, Hen Badgley's mom, which I just saw, and the one that has been talked about a ton, James Marsden. So before like reading into this more, initially I was like, I don't necessarily think there's a coincidence. These are all like young male actors who came up around the same time. They're not the same age. I fully thought they were all around the same age, about a 10-year difference. So I've seen people being like, well, because that's initially what I thought, that it's like, you know, young people who are also most like, there's, it's unlike, we all know it's not, he wasn't the only victim. It'd be, this to me sounds like, okay, other people who knew you in the same capacity in the same thing, but they're about, almost all of them are minimum 10 years older, and they knew what it was. They all knew what had happened and what he had done. And in James Marsden's letter, he said that he's known Peck for 14 years. Quote, I assure you what Brian has been through in the last year is suffering of 100 men. And even after Brian Peck got out of jail, he then was hired by Disney. He worked on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Oh, until then, gosh. Allegedly, his criminal history was uncovered. But I have a lot of questions about that because they do a background check when you're working. And also, like, if you have to be a registered sex offender, like, you will pop up on even the most basic of background checks. You don't have to dig for this information. And this is the same industry, the same town, the same, like essentially a sister company. It's like a sidestep competitor. And the industry is fucking small.
Yeah. The same people that were probably working at Nickelodeon were probably now working at Disney.
And probably some of the people who hired him.
Yep. It just, people that work at these companies in Hollywood just flop back and forth between the companies.
Yeah. So Ryder Strong and what's this? They were on Boy Meets World, right?
Right, Freddie.
I know, I don't remember. They comment on the situation on their Boy Meets World podcast, in quote, telling you what happened and instantly spinning it to where it wasn't his fault, it was clearly the fault of the victim. My initial instinct, because of the years I've been working with him, was, well, yeah, of course, it can't be you. Peck turned us against the victim to now where we had to be on his team. That's the thing where, to me, I look back at that in shame. Where there's an actual victim involved and now I'm on the abuser side, that's a thing I can't get over. To be clear, he didn't say that nothing had happened. So by the time we heard about the case and knew anything about it, it was always in the context of, I did this thing, I am guilty. I'm going to take whatever punishment the government determines, but I am a victim of jailbait. There was this hot guy. I just did this thing and he was underage. And we bought that storyline as opposed to saying, whoa, 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 grown man over 40 years old, what the hell are you doing? What storyline? Because I had to look up, I go, jailbait, what is that supposed to? And the voice came into my head was when you had talked about on, I don't remember what segment or what podcast it was, but about like the treatment of countdowns for waiting for specifically female actors to turn 18. Yep. And that's the only other time I like heard that like term. Mm-hmm. And looking it up, I was like, oh my God, you mean to say that like this man, I was so attracted to him and like he was essentially baiting me that I had to participate and then go to jail. Like,
it's not even this man, this boy.
That's what I mean. Like, but like the term of jail bait of being like, you have enticed me. You have baited me because your goal is to send me to jail. Like,
it's another way to say Lolita.
Yeah. Like, it's so, it's not based in anything. So the fact that like, even now, these are like recent quotes of them. Even now, their discussion of this is like, well, we bought this store. And I'm like, that's not a story. That's not even an excuse. Like, that's nothing. That's like, that's an admission of guilt. And that's disgusting. That should have solidified how horrible and disgusting this man is. There's nothing that he said there that is like, I'm sorry, if you related and you said, oh, poor him. Now I want to look into your past. Now I want to look into this. Like, how is this something that you're going empathizing for? He was a victim of this. What the fuck does that mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, in the docuseries, Drake Bell goes into talking about his relationship with his father and his mother severely, like, failed him in all of this. His dad was, like, his manager, and his dad was, like, doing everything. And his dad had a bad feeling about Brian Peck. And Brian Peck got in his mom's ear. And I don't even want to say, people are saying that he got in, like, Drake Bell's ear, too. But, like, that's not what this is.
Child.
Yeah, and, like, that's part of the same reason why a lot of people initially thought a lot of people writing these letters had also been the experience of this, because it's like denial. So like whatever he heard or whatever, he was not making the calls of his life and his career at that point. His parents were, and the network was. And so Brian Peck convinced Josh's mom that, like, no, actually his dad is the bad one. And so they kicked him out of the picture. And his dad was like, if you do, like, just don't let him alone with him. I don't trust him. And the mom was like, I trust him implicitly. And just Drake also mentioned, he had a girlfriend who was, like, hanging out at her house. And he was hanging out at her house all the time because, like, avoiding his home, being any proximity, closeness to where Brian had more access to him. And within, like, one sentence, he started calling Drake's phone, like, calling, being like, we had plans. And his girlfriend's mom was, like, picked up on it and was like, let's talk in the kitchen. And she was like, this is not, something's up. You can tell me. And he was like too nervous. She set him up an appointment with a therapist. She called his parents and was like, something is up. This is not normal. And yeah, like, this is a case of, like, people talk about individuals failing people. Unfortunately, it's never one individual. It's a domino effect of, like, one person fails, another person fails, and then the system is set up to fail, and the system isn't set up for that. So unless you have everyone writing for you. And even in that case, shit still happens. And, like, justice doesn't happen. All of those things, you can have everyone writing for you. So it's fucked. And Dan Schneider is also now milking this moment to really distract from his shit, which is, I wonder if he's the same publicist as the royal family, that I'm like, that's actually not what you do, because now your name is popping up and everybody knows the shit that you've done, where he's trying to distract from all of this, which I want to remind everybody, Jeanette McCurdy says in her book that she was offered $300,000 to sign an NDA to never speak about what happened at Nickelodeon and specifically Dan Schneider ever again. And she didn't sign it. And likely there's a lot of people who have signed that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who signed that really young and who didn't know what that meant or did know what it meant and needed the money. You notoriously do not make fucking any money on these shows, and people who have been guilted to funding for their whole families and all of this kind of stuff. So I do think it needs to be stated in the same sentence that Drake Bell also has charges against him, as well as other allegations. So in 2021, he had a felony charge of attempted child endangerment and misdemeanor charge of disseminating, I don't know that word, but bringing harmful matter to juveniles, which is, he was texting someone who was underage and having that kind of, like, relationship with it. And people want to assign a lot of blame specifically to that person's mother, who was like, oh, that's why it was all of these things. And there are lots of people who say that, oh, she lied about this, she recounted this, and therefore X, Y, and Z. The charges, like, still stand. The circumstances still, he said, she said. At the end of the day, it is a disservice to childhood sexual assault to not acknowledge the fact that it's not an excuse, but it's to help understand and prevent further things. It is not rare for people who have been victim of this to perpetrate it on other people, act out things that have happened to them with other people. It's not a guarantee. It's not, like, 100%. But if we don't acknowledge that, it's a disservice to, like, actually making things have a change for this, because we know if we can prosecute, charge people for this now, we can get justice for people that hopefully less people will go and act that out in their own lives, because they've been failed by these other systems. And this is the way that your brain, unfortunately, for some people, again, not everyone, can turn in that way. And it's something that for a lot of people, you can't fathom, regardless of what you've been through. The brain's really fucking finicky. It changes exactly, with every person. And he's got a bunch of allegations against him from former partners for domestic violence. So I don't think that it is responsible to talk about one without the other, the same way I don't think it's responsible to talk about Brian Peck without talking about Dan Schneider. And the way that we get justice for this and prevent these things from happening is you tie a through line. You tie the connection of how this happened to who and to where and to what organizations, who covered it and who did X, Y, and Z, and then what the ramifications were, and then what hurt people ended up hurting other people. So it's not an excuse. It's not a like reason. It's not a justification or anything. But abuse like this is a far more tangled web that has so many repercussions, not just to, it's not an individual to individual thing. It's a much wider spread issue. So that's who I would like to nominate. Without a doubt, people know, like people.
Yeah.
And like there's all, and like I didn't even touch on the stuff of like people who worked with him and who had like gotten fired for like, or had left, and he had like settled a bunch of suits with like former employees for like sexual harassment and like all of this stuff. Like this is a bad dude who everyone who knew him and worked with him knew he was a bad dude, except for the people that he viewed that he could get something from, and he could have proximity and access to people. So
yeah,
horrible, horrible. And like, I just need, as a collective, I don't know what's kind of like, I don't know, like check that I feel like I never even knew I needed to do with people, but like writing a character letter for someone who's been convicted of abuse, harm, sexual or violent, you don't need to write them a goddamn fucking character letter. Like even anyone who I love with my whole fucking heart, who I'm like, if it was like, oh my God, I could never believe it. Unfortunately, that statement will never come out of my mouth. I will always be able to believe it. I will always be able to, I will always be able to see that happening. And so like, that is, it's such a fucking dangerous mentality to be like, well, no, the people I know are an exception to that, when you can look at the fucking statistics and there's no goddamn fucking way. Like, I can't know everyone in my life who's had an experience, sexual abuse, like whatever it is on any scale that people want to give it. Yet I wouldn't know any men who have done that.
Right. I have nothing to add to that. I wasn't watching Nickelodeon at the time. So this wasn't like during the era of when I was watching. So I don't know the shows. Like I didn't watch any of those shows that were been talked about. And I just can't bring myself to watch or look at any of the interviews just because I'm not in the headspace to watch that now. But from what I've been hearing, I'm just completely disgusted.
Yeah. I also really hope people give the other child actors who are on these shows some grace. Alexa Nichols has like talked about this at length and extensively, and her career has like been directly affected by speaking about this. But like a lot of people were really fucking young, and a lot of people maybe didn't know. So specifically, if they had parents who were very present and involved, those parents, they were untouchable. So they didn't know. So to turn around and get upset with these other kids for not knowing is just like, we can't put that, even if those kids are not victims, you cannot put the responsibility on the children for this.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right. It's like, how do I follow?
Yeah, so sorry.
Mine, it's not silly. So at least there's that. Mine is Starbucks, and probably not for the reason that you're thinking. Two men went into a Starbucks in St. Louis, and they were carrying what would appear to be guns and telling all the people in the Starbucks to get on the ground and give them their money or anything valuable that they had. And one of the men, Joshua No, struck a patron, one of the people that was there to get coffee, in the head with what was supposed to be a gun, but then it cracked. And realizing that these people weren't actually armed, so two of the workers that worked at Starbucks were like, it's time to get down to business. So then they whooped these two dudes' asses, and they were struck in the face. There was a struggle, and they fought them. The two guys, Michael Harris and Devin Jones Ransom, fought the two culprits until the cops got there and held them down. And, you know, I would think that they would be rewarded as heroes.
You're kidding.
So then Starbucks fired them. Because Starbucks says that they have a policy where an extensive policy that if something like this happens, you're supposed to follow that policy like very particular. And I'm like, if you're in a situation where you think it's life and death, you think I'm going to sit there and be thinking about something that's in a notebook? No, I'm going to fight for my fucking life. The two guys, they were like, we just wanted to do what we thought was right. We were trying to protect ourselves and the other people in the store. So, yeah, they were fired. And now the two guys, well, specifically one guy, Harris, he is suing Starbucks for wrongful termination. An attorney and mediator at Banks Law says that Harris has a solid case for wrongful termination because he wasn't just facing the possibility of theft, but also violence. At a minimum, Starbucks general counsel should be fired, as well as their marketing public relations department, for allowing it to get this far. I understand that the miscreants told the customers to lie down and then give up their belongings. That sounds like a prelude to an execution to me.
I love that. I mean, lawyer.
That's, yeah, like, I mean, that's a little okay. bit much.
I
but,
was gonna say,
but,
I'm giving but, TV lawyer.
But like, fuck you, Starbucks, for many reasons. Yeah, but they just this too.
On, they're committed to mm-hmm. being like, I'm going to make y'all I'm hate the us villain. So much.
Not only am I going to have burnt, I'm just serving y'all burnt coffee all day long. And for some reason, y'all are eating it up. But we're also going to be the villain to every story.
Yeah. And like, to me, the most comical villain is a villain is like, you know what I hate? Unions. I'm always just like, mm-hmm. good God. Like, we're just, mm-hmm. There's nowhere you won't go. Wow. I had not heard about this. I have a strong belief system that I think you, as an employer, like an employee, if someone puts their hands on you as a customer, I think you should be allowed to put your hands back on them yeah. as an employee. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. like that whole thing of like the customer's always untouchable in that sense is like, it's fucked where it's like you have to endure whatever and yeah. you can't do anything, which also leads to the public people going like just being horrible because they're like, well, I know that you can't even touch me. And mm-hmm. I'm like, don't let this be a haunted house. Hit back. Right. Hit fucking agree. Back.
Agree.
That's like truly idiotic on Starbucks's like spot.
I know.
Also those families of the people who like they saved their lives. Yeah. I would be like, I'm going to pay your bills. I do have a question.
I would also be like, I would, if I was one of those patrons, I would yes. sue Starbucks for emotional distress because the people that were trying to save my life have now been punished yeah. for saving my life.
And now I live with a guilt of being alive all the time mm-hmm. when if I just died, they would have had their job. I would lay it on right. so fucking thick.
Yeah.
My question though, and I don't know if this is a regional thing. Can you picture someone who works at a Starbucks in Los Angeles being able to like, beat the ass
I mean, keep in mind this is St. Louis.
No, I know. So I'm asking you, could you see that like Starbucks? I'm like, Starbucks, you'll never have this goddamn fucking problem again.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I haven't stepped foot in a Starbucks in so long, but from what I recall, no.
Yeah. It's just like Starbucks, like, we don't want to set the precedent. I go, don't worry, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
This is also like unless it is life or death, your fucking employees are not. They're not risking bodily harm unless bodily harm is already being fucking risked. Like, right. it's just so, because like, you know, the reason why they're doing this is to like specifically set a precedent so this doesn't happen. I'm like, this will never fucking happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how would you feel if people died? That's worse.
But if it does, that means it deserved to happen.
Yeah.
Like if somebody breaks in and your employees are working, first of all, they're like saving the company money. Which you should be thankful for. And then
great
two,
press.
Right. Like you should be exalting these people, celebrating them, giving them
a purple heart,
a raise, like paying for if they're going to college, pay for their college, like do whatever you need to do to make these people's lives better.
Yes.
It's not going to hurt your bottom line in any type of way because they have been traumatized by this.
No, this is like that. I don't know if you saw that woman who, actually, I don't know the gender of the person at all who did it, but someone's like car got like burned or something and they're like Stanley was in it and they were like mm-hmm. sad about
as
it.
As a woman. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they gave them, they were like, we're going to get you a new Stanley and we're going to get you a new car. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we don't do this and we're never going to do this again. But I'm like, and now when I see Stanley's, I go, sure, maybe I'll buy a $45 water bottle.
It was pressed for the cup. Like,
yes. Starbucks, this could have been, you like imagine you could have changed the deserving. Scathing headlines. You've actually most of the headlines you're not getting are scathing, but like social media comments you're getting, fucking scathing.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being able to change the SEO of that and going, nah, double down.
What? Yep.
Oh my God.
Naming a drink after them and then like having that be like a national rollout.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. The press with that. Their PR people need to be fired too.
Well, unfortunately, they're a little busy doing nothing, helping Kate Middleton. I think they have the same press team. And therefore, it's an empty room. Nobody's there. There's just a British flag waving.
Yeah.
Anyways, I hadn't heard about that. Thank you for sharing that one.
You're welcome. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been a wonderful episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you'd like to participate, please send us an email to buttamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Keep it to 300 words or less. Also, tune in on Fridays where we vote on what has been proposed to you the previous week.
And we have a bunch of other shows, not just this one. So on Monday, you can check out on Monday, you can check out Don't Blame Me, where we give you wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice. Tuesday, we have See You Next Tuesday, where we talk shit, we gossip, we have fun, we catch up on our lives. It's probably the most random one of all, very personality heavy. We get in weird tangents. Also, if you want to talk about something, you can always send it over there.
Mm-hmm. We'll debate talking about it.
We'll consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the shows.
All right. We'll circle back.
But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.